You're tops in my book, Pam. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Four 198 years ago, this coming Saturday at 2:37 p.m. Right, Gene? Or was it 2:36? Martin Luther strode out to the church door, and there he nailed the 95 Theses. A great protest doctrine. Stirring up all kinds of trouble, that little monk. What in the world was he thinking about? Trying to start a fight. That's what a lot of people think. It was all about starting a fight. It was a protest doctrine. He's here to protest. He was there to have a conversation. Those 95 Theses were placed on the door. They were written in Latin because most people couldn't read Latin. And they were placed there so he could induce other people to have a conversation about these 95 things that he had questions about. Things quickly spun a little bit out of control from what he envisioned. I think from all accounts, Luther was a good church person. Loyal and faithful, but wanted to get some things straight, wanted to get people to understand a little bit more about what seemed to be a little bit shifting off of that axis or off the center of that top. Wanting people to know that the focus really wasn't about what we do for God, but rather what God does for us. We're Lutherans. So we're supposed to look at the things that Martin Luther wrote. We're supposed to take all those things. We're supposed to make them part of our life. Just kind of suck them in, right? That's what they did. Memorized all of it, didn't you? Everything he wrote. You know it all. Yeah, you watched a movie. So that must be it. You see it in a movie, you know it. But the thing is, what we don't understand sometimes, I think, is just because Luther wrote it doesn't make it right. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Just because Luther wrote it doesn't make it right. Because there were things that Martin Luther wrote that are pretty repugnant. He was a pretty angry person when it came to different faiths. Not very tolerant. And he wrote some things that probably shouldn't be looked at with much favor at all. But then there were other things that he wrote. Things that helped us as a people better understand our relationship with God, better understand what God does for us, and helps us to be able to truly be the people God has called us to be. And like I said, they memorized all of it. So we're going to have a test here. So Gage, tell me what the meaning was of the solid declaration of Article 1 of original sin. We didn't study that. Part of the thought process that goes into what we do within our confirmation program a lot of times has people thinking, well, we just study about Martin Luther. But you see, that's just a piece of it. Because if we studied just about Martin Luther would be spinning around in his axis in the grave, because that's not what this is all about. The greatest quest that Luther had in terms of what he was doing was trying to get people back to the core, back to the source document, back to Scripture, to be able to understand that what we do, what we say, what we believe comes from the Word of God. And then everything we do within our lives needs to be filtered through that word. To be able to understand that there was the core of our being, the center of our belief. And so what you're going to hear in the next couple of moments as they make their statements of faith is not that they chose quotes from Martin Luther, but they chose quotes from Holy Scripture, the Word of God. When Luther saw what was going on within the church, he knew that there needed to be changes to take place to be able to bring us back to the center, to where things began, to that Word of Jesus Christ. And so as we go about our lives, we turn to that center, turn to that Word to be able to kind of define who we are in the choices that we make on a regular basis. Some 15 years ago, roughly, some of you made promises based on the Word of God on their behalf when they were baptized. Promised to bring them to church. You promised to teach them the creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments. You promised to make them good people. As their parents stood at a font like this one, or may have even been this one, as they stood there with godparents and sponsors, it wasn't just those people that made the promise, but it was the people of God who stood with them that made the promise to do exactly what needed to be done to see that they were raised in the Christian faith. And dozens, if not hundreds of people have touched their lives in terms of their faith stories, in terms of what they've shared, what they've taught, how they've lived. You see, every time we have a baptism here, we are the responsible ones. We are the ones who have been called by God to be able to stand up and to proclaim our faith each and every day of each and every moment to these young people who have been baptized, to be able to stand there, to allow them to understand what it means to grow in the faith. You promised that. You may not think about it. But when there is a baptism, you promise to be part of their lives. And so now we've reached the point where they are going to affirm that faith, where they're going to take those promises that were made on their behalf so many years ago, and they are going to make them theirs. They now choose to become adult brothers and sisters in the faith. They choose to live by these promises. They choose to live out these promises, and then one day they choose to make those same promises on the behalf of others. We applaud you for that. Because this day, you stand before us really as beacons of faith, allowing us to see in you how God has touched you and how God's faith has formed you and made you into the people you are today. It's my hope that you live that out, to be able to be examples for all these people and for the people you encounter throughout your lives. To be able to be examples of faith through what you say and through what you do, maybe taking the chance to be able to teach or even preach, to live out your faith each and every day. And so as we gather to celebrate this time, we give thanks to God that we have these opportunities, These opportunities to live out our faith by sharing it with others. These opportunities to see our young people grow in faith. But most of all, the opportunities that we have to live our lives each and every day as the people God has called us to be. People who share our faith. People who live our faith. People who, throughout the world, help others to see the faith. Congratulations. It's almost over. But this isn't just the end. This is truly a new beginning. Amen.